This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. We're going to listen back to an interview with Glenn Campbell. He died yesterday of complications caused by Alzheimer's disease. He was 81. Campbell had his biggest hits in the 60s and 70s, including By the Time I Get to Phoenix, Wichita Lineman, Galveston, Southern Nights, and Gentle on My Mind, which was also the theme of his TV show, the Glenn Campbell Good Times Hour. One of the songs he's most associated with is Rhinestone Cowboy.
I've been walking these streets so long, singing the same old song. I know every crack in these dirty sidewalks of Broadway, where hustle's the name of the game, and nice guys get washed away like the snow and the rain. There's been a load of compromising on the road to my horizon, but I'm gonna be where the lights are shining on me, like a rhinestone cowboy riding out on a horse in a star-spangled rodeo, like a rhinestone cowboy getting cards and letters from people I don't even know, and offers coming over.
Before Campbell's solo career, he played guitar with the legendary group of L.A. studio musicians known as the Wrecking Crew. Here's a sampling of some of those recordings.
Strangers in the night, exchanging glances, wandering in the night. What were the chances we'd be sharing love before the night was through?
Glenn Campbell also played guitar on many Beach Boys recordings and toured with them in 1964. Though his life at times seemed charmed, he battled drug and alcohol addiction and married four times. In 2011, he revealed he had Alzheimer's disease, but he continued to tour for another 15 months. Campbell spoke with Fresh Air's Dave Davies in 2008, 3 years before his Alzheimer's diagnosis.
You grew up in a small town in Arkansas, big family, 12 kids, is that right?
12 kids, 8 boys, 4 girls.
What kind of childhood did you have?
Working. You worked. As soon as you got old enough to milk the cows, you milked the cows. It was slop the hogs. We didn't have electricity when I was a kid. We had to watch TV by candlelight. No, that's a silly joke. Oh, yeah, I don't remember not playing a guitar. And Daddy, he made me a capo out of corn cobs, you know, where you can, you know, clamp it down on the A position and you can play C position with it. You
right,
know,
that's where it's a capo. They actually make them now on guitars where it sits on the frets so you can shorten the strings, right?
Yeah.
And your first one was out of a corn cob?
Yep. It was out of a corn cob with a nail through it. I'll never forget those things. I must have been, 7, 8 years old then.
And were you singing to it at an early age?
Mm-hmm. We sang in church. It was amazing. The Church of Christ that we went to there, we had to go. You know, all of us were breastfed, and if you wanted anything to eat Sunday, you had to go to church with Mama. And that's the truth. And it was, and I loved the singing. I remember hearing the singing, but a lot of it was out of tune because the Church of Christ didn't have a musical instrument.
I happen to know that. I went to the Church
acapella.
Of Christ.
But when I'd do something, I'd take my guitar and play for them. I'd go down to the Baptist church where Grandpa Campbell was, and I could play my guitar and sing down there.
Well, you must have had some talent because you ended up in Albuquerque, and I know that you joined the band The Champs, which had that famous song Tequila.
Right.
So you made your way to Los Angeles, and you became one of a legendary group of studio musicians that did tracks for what groups? I mean, it's a long, long list, right? The Beach Boys, right?
Yeah, the Beach Boys, Jan and Dean, Nat King Cole, Sinatra, and my buddy Dean Martin. It just everybody, really. Mamas and the Papas, the Blossoms, everybody that we played almost on every record that came out of Los Angeles, and that was the crew called the Wrecking Crew. It was the best. What an incredible band! It was the best musicians I had ever played with, and you got to be on your toes for session playing because you're laying out a pretty good chunk of money there, and they don't want no overtime.
Well, now you were never trained to read music, right? I mean, was that an issue?
No, it wasn't. I learned to read chord charts, the time signatures, but I never learned to read notes. That was always so hard for me. I didn't. Of course, I can pick up a sheet music and play it, but not necessarily the melody.
So you played rhythm on a lot of these tracks, right?
Yeah, that's what I played, rhythm, because of my capo. I could, if it was in E flat, I could play C position in E flat. It drove the guys it drove them nuts. How can you read like that? And I said, well, I'm just pretend I'm in C when I'm actually in E flat with my capo on it, playing open chord rhythm.
I'm just picturing this is back in the early and mid '60s, and you're putting in long days in the studio, right? And one producer after another. And what's happening is you guys are putting in music, which then becomes hit records for other groups. Did you feel ripped off?
No, that's the most money I'd ever made. Uh-huh. it beat the hell out of picking cotton. I can tell you that. It was just – I had more – I think that was probably the part of my life that I remember is sitting down and playing with the best musicians in the world, literally.
Well, you had these great years as a session musician with this group called the Wrecking Crew. Mm-hmm. And then you went solo. Did you always see yourself as going out and having a solo career?
Yes, it did. I just waited it – I waited for it – to come to me. I was making records, here and there, like Turn Around, Look at Me in 1962. But I love the studio work.
And when you said about doing solo, you wanted to wait until it came to you. What do you mean?
Where I didn't have to, I wouldn't go out and knock. I was in a position where I didn't have to go out and knock on doors. A lot of people didn't even the guys didn't even know I could sing, and when I started, I got more kidding from the musicians because the same guys that I was playing with on all those sessions, they all played on my stuff, whether it was Rhinestone Cowboy or Wichita Lyman, Galveston, it was the same guys, and it was so much fun in the studio with them because.
Hey, old Big Shot's back with us, boys, especially during the TV show. I went and did sessions with people after when I was doing the TV show.
And they weren't jealous?
I just missed the camaraderie with the musicians.
When you were a big star, had the TV show, you would go back in and just do some session work on other people's stuff?
Mm-hmm, just to see the guys, see what was happening in that end of it. It was fun.
Well, your breakout hit was "Gentle on My Mind" with Capitol Records. I guess this was 1967, right? You want to tell us a little bit about recording that song?
Oh, I heard the song.
John Hartford. He did the song, and I said, "Boy, it takes too long to get to the next verse. That's slow." And I just did it. I got a comfortable time on the song, you know, whether to do it slow, medium, and I just got it to where I could talk the song like, "It's knowing that your door's always open and your path is free to walk." I just put it in a tempo that was comfortable, like I would be talking it without singing the melody.
Well, let's hear it. This is "Gentle on My Mind" by Glen Campbell.
It's knowing that your door's always open and your path is free to walk. That makes me tend to leave my sleeping bag rolled up and stashed behind your couch. And it's knowing I'm not shackled by forgotten words and bonds and the ink stains that are dried upon some line. That keeps you in the back roads by the rivers of my memory. It keeps you ever gentle on my mind.
And that was my guest Glen Campbell with his breakout hit "Gentle on My Mind" from 1967. That was a huge hit. How did it change your life and career?
It changed everything. We did the Summer Brothers Mother Show. That just exploded everything. EMI had the pressing where they press the records. They had every pressing, every guy that could press a records doing Glen Campbell records, because I'd had such a backlog of it. And then you come out and people see you on TV. TV is just an incredible media.
When people saw you on TV, suddenly the demand for the records just shot through the roof, you mean? Yeah.
And that was timing again, and I had all that I had recorded, and they'd in the middle of the charts, something, you know. Some of them didn't even get into the charts. But everything, it didn't matter what it was after the TV show, everything got in the charts, and almost all of them went to number one. It was just amazing.
Well, you know, one of them was Wichita Lineman, which was a great old favorite. And I just think this is such a wonderfully evocative tune.
Isn't that good?
We've all had the experience of working a shift, in a hospital or on a warehouse or wherever, and thinking about pining for a love. Want to talk a little bit about this recording this song?
Well, I just do a track first, and then I sing it three or four different times, and actually, I will put some songs you did on track one, put words there, and just change it around until I got it like I wanted it. But when the TV show hit, there was just everything. It didn't matter what I put out. It sold.
Well, let's listen to a little bit of Wichita Lineman. This is our guest, Glen Campbell.
I am a lineman for the county, and I drive the main road, searching in the sun for another overload. I hear you singing in the wire. I can hear you through the whine. And the Wichita lineman is still on the line. I know I need a small vacation.
That was Wichita Lineman by our guest, Glen Campbell. Glen, you have your guitar there?
Yeah.
You want to play us a little something?
Yeah, what do you want to hear?
You tell me. You want to play something from the new album?
I've been out walking. I don't do too much talking these days. These days. There's some good songs in this album.
Right. Now, that was an old Jackson Browne tune, right?
Yeah, Jackson Browne.
Yeah. You became a TV star when you got associated with the Smothers Brothers that had that really edgy comedy show that eventually was taken off by CBS.
Right.
And that led you to getting your own musical variety show, the Glen Campbell Good Time Hour. And one of the things that was interesting about that was that the Smothers Brothers were always pushing this pushing the edge with anti-establishment, anti-Vietnam War comedy.
Yeah.
Think of you as maybe not so political. Were you comfortable with, you know, the kind of edge and tone of what they were doing?
Not really. I thought this, when I listened to the show, I thought it was a little edgy, you know. I don't think I'm in the music business to, you know, to try to save the world or to focus my opinion. And Tommy, that's why they got threw off of CBS. He stepped over the line a little bit, I believe. And that shouldn't even be a factor in as far as music goes, you know. There's a war going on. Well, it's, you know, your life's got to go on.
Well, I wish you the best with the new album. Thanks so much for speaking with us, Glenn.
Hey, thank you.
All right. Take care.
She'll be coming around a mountain when she comes. She'll be coming around a mountain when she comes. She'll be coming around a mountain. She'll be coming around a mountain. She'll be coming around a mountain when she comes.
Well, Glenn Campbell speaking with Fresh Air's Dave Davies in 2008. Campbell died yesterday of complications from Alzheimer's.